It's normal for millennials to still live at home these days. But what if you're a millennial who doesn't have a home to go back to?
I didn't mind sleeping on the floor. I didn't mind sleeping on a couch.
That's 23-year-old Akeisha Porter. Growing up, she says she didn't like her mom's husband and her dad had a drug problem. So at 16, she moved out.
I was basically just house hopping from friends to some family members. Hey, it was comfortable to me. It was that cold. I wasn't sleeping outside.
Then, Porter found an apartment for herself and her baby in a building located here on Ocean Avenue in San Francisco, run by a nonprofit called Mercy. It provides subsidized affordable housing for low-income residents, including 25 apartments reserved for 18 to 24-year-olds. One of Porter's neighbors is Cynthia Mendoza.
This was my first dream, to be on my own, in my own apartment, paying rent, paying bills, like a normal adult does.
Domestic violence forced Mendoza out of her home and into foster care when she was 17. Now she's 21. Mendoza takes me up the elevator to show off her new apartment.
Behind the door, there's a refrigerator, like a huge one, which I've never had in my life, and then a microwave. Everything was brand new when I got here.
Mendoza is one of the lucky ones. There are far more low-income youth who need housing than there are subsidized apartments available. Technically, Mendoza and Porter could qualify for federal public housing instead of living at Mercy.
Usually it's pretty easy. It's very simple.
That's Ron Ashford, a director at the Federal Housing Authority.
They just need to find their local housing authority, go to the housing authority, and apply.
But there's a catch. The problem isn't applying. It's getting in, and young adults get lower priority.
Remember that you are competing against families who do not have a home and who are looking for public housing. When I was at New York City Housing Authority some 20 years ago, the waiting list was over 10 years.
And in San Francisco, the waiting list is so long it's closed for the time being. There's another catch too, and it's kind of a big one. If you are a young person trying to take college classes, there are extra rules that limit your access to Section 8 federal housing. Eric Rice doesn't think this is fair. He's a professor of social work at the University of Southern California. He has a focus on homeless youth.
We need to be rethinking some of these rules around housing for students.
Rice says he's frustrated that taking a few courses can jeopardize a young person's ability to get housing.
Because if we have students who are homeless, who are low income, they need higher education as a long-term solution for alleviating their situation with respect to poverty. And we want to make that easier, not harder.
It wasn't always this way. Before 2005, students didn't have to meet such strict rules. But then a housing scandal broke. Well-off college athletes in schools across the country were living in Section 8 public housing. After that, the rules changed, affecting most full and part-time students. That's one reason local solutions like Mercy Housing have popped up, to provide alternatives for 18 to 24-year-olds. They welcome students, even though they have to limit student residents to part-timers to qualify for federal tax credits. And it's those tax credits that make it possible to build this housing. If you visit the Mercy Apartments, you'll notice San Francisco City College is right across the street. That's on purpose, making it easy for the young residents to enroll if they choose to. And students don't have to worry about being kicked out of their homes, just for taking a few classes. For NPR News, I'm Casey Saturn.